Hello, and welcome to the Mayo Report on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be discussing the top 300 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the top trade sales through Diamond to retailers for January 2020. This is, of course, what sells into stores, not what sells out to readers and such. And we're a little behind on doing this. I took kind of February off. We had some just stuff happen in March and stuff. So we're recording this on Sunday, March 29th. How are you doing today, TJ?
Doing pretty well. The weather's nice, but I'm inside, so.
I am inside, too. We're at about 2 weeks into the stay-at-home order here in Austin, Texas. We're allowed to go out for some things, but it's like, hey, if you don't need to go out, don't. Mm-hmm. So the state of the world we're in now versus the state of the world that these comics and trades we're going to look at sold in has changed quite a bit. And when we look at the January sales numbers, what we usually see is a downturn in sales in general. In this particular case, trade sales were up compared to December, but December was really the lowest it had been in, let me scroll up and find out, in 2, 3, 4 years? I mean, for really quite some time. Last month's total for the top 300 trades was 190,746. This month we're up to 253,195. And I am having to scroll up to like a decade to go find numbers as low as we had last month. Mm-hmm. So obviously we're doing better this month than last time. We're still well below kind of that average we've had for the top 300 trades, which is about 294,395 units. So not the best of months, but obviously we had worse last month. Mm-hmm. Which is not, I mean, it's not crazy surprising. First quarter is always just kind of weird for sales at comic stores, because typically I think we would have seen in November, December, a bit of an increase on trade sales because they make good Christmas presents and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's also a matter of what's getting collected when and things of that sort. If we look at the breakdown here for January, we've got 33.1% of the total units for the top 300 trades going to Marvel, 22.26% going to DC, 11.78 going to Viz, and then 11.01% of the units to Image. So we're seeing definitely a resurgence of late in manga and stuff like that, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. But we're also seeing, again, you know, well over half the sales going to Marvel and DC, which not the least bit surprising. They're the big two companies in the industry. But it's going to be it's going to be interesting when we talk about the February numbers to see how those do. And of course, as we record this, we have those, and after we're done with this, we'll record that. But really, January is not kind of setting the stage for the year 2020 the way it normally would, in so much as the COVID-19 pandemic, the reaction to that of numerous stay-at-home orders that last I looked were impacting nearly 200 million Americans. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see a very unusual sales over the course of the year, presuming we get sales numbers for all of the year. And at this point, don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember, too, that even if, which, you know, it's completely up in the air how long the shelter-in-place orders and kind of the general disruption are, the consequences to the economy are going to be pretty severe no matter how short or how long this is. And that means that things that are discretionary income are going to be constrained anyways. So while we all kind of have comics at the center of our lives, when multiple people in a family lose their jobs and they have to start budgeting, much more aggressively, or they have to start cutting things, unfortunately, discretionary things like comics are going to be one of the first things to go. So that's also going to play out. Right now, people are thinking, okay, well, maybe the next 2 months will be bad. But if you really think about it, the rest of the year, I think, is going to be, pretty traumatic for the comics industry because, when it comes to budgeting, this is going to be one of the things that people cut, even in November, because they've had a really rough year.
Well, to use an example of that, and I had posted a link to the article from the Austin American Statement on the Slack channel, and it was talking about the economic impacts here in Austin, Texas. And the reason I posted it to the forum is the comic store that is physically, I think, closest to my house, Tribe Comics and Games, was mentioned in the article. Mm-hmm. And in, they were looking at a really potentially good, March set of sales, but South by Southwest got canceled. Mm-hmm. The owner of that store, co-owner, Eric, was saying that he estimates about 30% of his customers are employed by bars, restaurants, things that would do well during South by Southwest. So normally they'd be flush with cash and wanting to spend it on comics and trades and such. Well, mm-hmm. That's not happening. And now, with the shelter in place stuff, his store is effectively shut down, for the month. So that's something that, comic stores are small businesses. Some are going to be able to weather the storm better than others. But even if the store can survive it, to your point of the economic impact of so many people being either laid off or not having their income or however it is impacting them specifically, we're going to feel the ramifications for this at least through most of this year, but possibly much, much longer than that.
I think that's very true. Mm-hmm.
It's just it's hard to know exactly what the ramifications are going to be, because just between the time we record this and this episode goes up, which right now I'm thinking will probably be April 8th, mm-hmm. A ton of stuff is going to change.
That's true.
The things that will be known by April 8th that are not known now is if digital releases are going to continue on April 1st, April 8th, etc., even though physical shipments have stopped through Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that means to trades numbers is stuff that we may not feel until, 6 months from now, when the things getting printed now as single issues get collected, what's the ramification going to be on the print medium? If DC and Marvel continue to release digitally and the print lags behind, do people switch over to that? Do they not? We just don't know at this point.
Yeah, that's a very, very valid concern. And I think the other unfortunate thing is there's so many moving parts. It's going to be interesting to see, it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out. But also, I think we are going to have to be careful about making pronouncements because there's so many shifting pieces of information. So I think, unfortunately, for the direct market, the corporate ownership of DC and Marvel will eventually force their hand and make them at least publish digitally because I think the editors will try and hold it back as long as possible. But eventually, an executive high enough up who doesn't even know what comic books are will see a spreadsheet that says we could make some revenue, and so we're going to do it. You know what I mean? Someone who's completely divorced from the comic world and doesn't realize the impact that could have on the direct market is going to say, well, I don't care. Right now, that spreadsheet says zero, and you could at least give me 20% of what I got before. So I'm going to take at least that much revenue. So I think you'll eventually see Marvel and DC go release digitally on Comixology and other forms. And then it'll be interesting to see, because Boom and IDW and Image have said that they won't do that. But if Marvel and DC are, and they're the only product available for sale, they're going to fill that vacuum pretty quick. And how long can IDW and Boom hold out? Image is a little different in that they're kind of like, creator owned, and it's kind of a different business model. But there's going to be pressure on the other companies to follow suit. And once you get enough product coming out digitally, then you're in real trouble, I think, in terms of the direct market.
Well, I'm going to try as hard as I can to avoid, making pronouncements as to what I think will happen. But I'm going to say a little about what I think at the moment should happen, with the caveat that I may change my mind on this either as more information becomes available or as I've had time to think it through a little deeper. We know certain publishers such as Dark Horse and others have announced they're not going to go forward with digital. They're going to stay in parity with print. Personally, I think that's generally a good idea. But I think at this point we need to look at the different kind of levels of publishers. We've got the two major publishers of Marvel and DC. We've got the premier publishers of Boom, Dark Horse, Dynamite, Image, and IDW. And then we've got those kind of minor league publishers, which are more small businesses and stuff like that with a much smaller output. And I think the response each of them can and should have can be very different. Because I can see where some of these smaller publishers, if they were to go without any kind of income at all, be it digital sales or whatever they can manage, that could put them out of business.
Absolutely.
We don't want that. Okay. We're also looking at these publishers having such a small percentage of sales at most stores that if they were to, say, release digitally and that were to completely crater print sales of those items, I don't think most stores would get clobbered by that.
That's true.
Some absolutely that cater more to the indie type stuff could be. I'm talking big picture, broad brushstrokes here. At the other end of the spectrum, Marvel and DC, I agree that they're going to be kind of beholden to their corporate ownership. I'm hoping that can work to the industry's advantage and not the disadvantage. Both of these companies have decades, like 80 years worth of material in their library. So I think what they should be doing is leaning heavily into the subscription model with the DC Universe service and the Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited service, but not leaning into releasing new material digitally. They should be working on giving, you know, curating their library of, hey, you know, we've got the entire run of the Justice League going back forever, or Legion, or Justice League, or X-Men, or Spider-Man, or whatever. Go with the, hey, if you've enjoyed this on the CW or the Marvel movies or, you know, wherever you've seen them in live action, dive into the source material. They have an opportunity to be gaining readers without having any negative implications on the retailers when things get spun back up. Now, where it gets a bit more nebulous is this middle ground of the premier publishers, Boom, Dark Horse, Dynamite, IDW, and Image. And I recommend for them at the moment, don't go releasing new material digitally that's also slated to be in print. If you've got digital-only stuff, again, that's not something that you're going to be, you know, potentially harming your retail partners by releasing, because you were going to release it anyways. But we need to be in a position where when things get spun back up, when the printers are going again, when Diamond is distributing products again, when stores are open for business the way they used to be, people are able to go and buy the material. Now, what that means is it needs to not have been already essentially sold to them digitally, because they're not going to double dip on this. Even if they wanted to, they may not be able to afford to. And we know some of these publishers, again, I know Dark Horse was one of them, I'm pretty sure some of the others have also done this, have pledged to slow down the release schedule when things spin back up to where it doesn't go from 0 to 60, you know, on that first release week. Because the reality is a ton of people are getting hit financially by this, and to expect them to go back up to whatever reading level they were at instantly once the industry gets moving again, I don't know how realistic that is.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's a very good point to reemphasize that there's so much up in the air. It's kind of like we're just going to have to hope for the best.
Well, absolutely. I think this is one of those things where the fate of the direct market is a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Everyone who believes it's doomed is kind of setting it down that path. Everyone believes it still has a chance is setting it down that path. And I'm not going to pretend it's going to be easy or business as usual the minute things get back up and running. It's not. There are going to be a lot of challenges. But we've got to do what we can to support the industry to help it see through this. As we've talked about, it's going to change from this. It can't not change. I just I don't see how that would happen. So far, Well, there have been some major announcements. Again, Diamond saying it was not taking in any new material and not releasing anything starting April 1st for an indeterminate amount of time. I don't hold that against Diamond. I know certain people do. I've seen some passionate posts, I guess would be the way to say it, in various places on that, kind of condemning Diamond. The reality is, with the shelter-in-place stuff, with printers shutting down, with many stores closed, there was no good answer to be had for Diamond on this.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a position where if they had continued releasing materials, that would have helped stores in areas that were still open for business and really disadvantaged those in places that are not open for business. And I see both sides of that one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things, to me, the most disappointing reaction to this is we're getting word from creators that they've had a pencils down order to just stop working for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously going to impact the finances for the creators, some of which are going to be able to weather this better than others. But I'm hoping DC in particular is not one of the ones who's issued that kind of edict, in so much as there had been rumors of them needing to do another convergence sort of thing to buy schedule time to get ahead for things like the 5G stuff. If you're in a position where you need to build in some buffer time to your schedule, and fate has kind of handed you no new comics for an indeterminate amount of time, leverage that time to continue producing content.
Yeah, and especially for the large companies like that who have the financial wherewithal to do that.
Well, and I have heard some rumblings that the big companies might be snatching up creators from the smaller companies and keeping them busy. Which, if they're doing that to keep those creators afloat to where they're still available for comics when the other publishers are ready to resume, I'm good with that. If they are signing them to exclusives or otherwise grabbing them permanently from these other companies and stuff, that's not so cool. But again, these are rumblings, not any hard fact. There's so much we don't know right now. But it's going to be interesting to see how things go.
Absolutely.
Now, if we jump over to the top trades list itself, we can take a look at how sales kind of were in January, which again, maybe does or doesn't set the stage for the future. And the top selling item was the Absolute Carnage trade paperback at 4,619 units. So well below 5,000 units. We've talked before about how we've had times topping the list in the 25, 26,000 unit stuff, if it's a new Walking Dead trade or something of that sort. So some of this is we just didn't have anything doing gangbusters this month. Some of it is just, I think, the general softening on the trade side that we've been seeing for a little while.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because aside from those big items, be it a saga or a Walking Dead, these sorts of sales, not that unusual.
Yeah. I think it's especially telling that of the top 10 this month, four are reorders, so 40%. And you can kind of tell that, you know, part of it, I think, is the January schedule of them not necessarily putting out big books in January. But, you know, that's telling right there that, you know, that much of the top 10 is reorder activity.
Well, and we get to the bottom of that top 10 and we're selling 2,751 units. Depending how many stores you think are out there, that could be, you know, a copy per store.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's not like these trades are in there in big numbers on average, which may actually put the industry in a good position if these things are truly averaged out across the retailer base, because then if and when some retailers are not able to weather the storm of the pandemic shutdown, it's hopefully is not going to be a store that is disproportionately huge in terms of orders and therefore has a bigger impact on publishers.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're talking, and let's face it, we know that not all retailers are created equal. We've got Midtown in New York. We've got DCBS. We've got a few others that are disproportionately large compared to the average retailer. This is not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It is just a thing. This is how kind of capitalism works. You're in a dense geographical area like New York. You've got access to a very large customer base. You're a mail order place like DCBS. You also have access to a large customer base. Now, hopefully these companies and others like them weather the storm well, because I think we're going to need big strong retailers for a while. But I think it's probable that there are stores out there that are going, you know, kind of week to week, and a stopping of material or a stopping of people able to get to their store could shut some doors.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another reason why I think we're seeing the overall numbers come down, you know, outside of the guaranteed hits that we used to have, like Walking Dead and Saga, is that there's so much material now. There's, I think the stores have just become much better at saying, I just can't sell that, so I'm not even going to order it unless I have literally an order from one of my subscribers. So I think, you know, a lot of these numbers are, you know, just the total number of sales that are available, and they're spread out over more items. So you're just seeing a lot more of the 2,000, 3,000, you know, sales instead of what we used to see, the 10 to 12,000 to 20,000 sales.
This is where I would love to have point of sales information to know if sales on trades have the same volume spread across more items like you're suggesting or not. I kind of agree with you. That's probably happening. Because I think for a large contingent of consumers, there is a finite budget they have. You know, they're not going to be able to say, well, you know, this isn't available, so I'll just buy these other six omnibuses or something like that. It's like, hey, they've got X dollars they're going to spend, and either they spend it this week or they don't.
Yeah. And I think another thing that we have to be cognizant of is there's this problem for the retailers with this, with limited space, is that they can't obviously stock everything. So they have to become very good at stocking what they know they can move. And the reality is that Amazon and other online bookstores with the virtual shelf space, unlimited shelf space, you know, obviously split across different like
warehouses and stuff. Yeah.
Or yeah, warehouses where they store books. So, you know, someone can, if they can't find something easily in their store, then they go online and order it and it gets shipped to them. And so over time, that has kind of worn down to the point where the comic shops just can't stock the stuff that they know they can't move. You know, it's just a reality of it.
Well, and I think we're going to see potentially over the course of the year how good stores have been on ordering what they can sell versus ordering what they hope they can sell. Because that difference may be what keeps certain stores in business and others not in business. And we may see a tightening of the orders over the course of the year based on, again, just tighter times overall economically. And I think that's not a bad thing, but it's going to be something that is going to be a trial for the overall industry, because as stores get tighter and say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't put an extra copy on this in the shelf, I'm going to order more based on subs and stuff like that. That means sales of these things are going to get tighter. They're going to go down. That means the income to any publisher that is reliant on trade sales to keep the titles afloat, that changes the math on the viability of a given property or whatever to some degree, maybe significantly, maybe not. I don't know. Flip side, we may also see, depending how the shutdown during April and potentially longer goes, we may see people aborting the sales of or purchasing of comics, saying, I'll get it on trade when it comes out or something. You know, it's I definitely think we're in for some sort of flux in sales patterns, and I definitely think on the trade side, due to the higher price points in general than a single comic and stuff like that, it may be a little more pronounced in that respect, but because of the slower release schedule, i.e. a new item every 6 to 9 months versus every 2 to 4 weeks or something, it'll play out over a longer period of time on the trade side.
That makes sense.
It's just going to be a matter of, you know, are people double dipping? In which case, do they need to pull back because they can't afford it? I really do think that not all material is created equally. There's some stuff that's just always going to sell and some stuff that was just hanging on by a thread. And those things on that hanging by on a thread end of the spectrum may not make it through this. And I'm not sure that they necessarily should. I think there have been a lot of people who've been feeling, Marvel in particular, but some other publishers as well, have been, you know, overproducing. And this may be either the wake-up call the industry needs, or it could be, you know, far worse than that.
Yeah, time will tell.
Yeah. If we look at some of the reorder activity you were mentioning in the top 10, Some of it is not too surprising. We've got Watchmen. We've got the House of X, Powers of X hardcover. Those, I think, are strong material. League of Legends, I'm not familiar enough with to know if that's something that is just doing well now or is more of almost a potential perennial or whatever. And then the Black Hammer Age of Doom Part 2 trade paperback, that's doing well over at Dark Horse, but don't know if it's, again, leaning into that evergreen kind of material or not, like a Watchmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for the Black Hammer stuff, I think that it's kind of established itself as kind of like the follow-up, you know, not nearly as much material yet, but kind of the follow-up to the Mike Mignola universe there. You know, kind of, unfortunately, in the last couple of years, Dark Horse has kind of had a sustained loss of properties, and they've tried to, you know, acquire more or invest in them. And I think, you know, this is the Jeff Lemire property that they've been doing a pretty good job with, and it's good material in my opinion. And it's kind of, I do think it has a following. So I do think those are pretty solid reorder numbers for something that's on its volume 4. So.
Yeah, and I think that whole kind of mini universe and stuff, like you were also alluding to, the Hellboy BPRD type stuff, those are some of the major tent poles over at Dark Horse these days.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question bouncing around in my mind at the moment is, do we think we're going to see a bigger stratification between kind of the potential evergreens and the here and gone in a month kind of material?
Mm. You know, I think it'll be interesting, you know, depending on how things are going, if there's no new comics for more than a month or two, then, you know, at a certain point, if the stores are open or they can be shipping to people or whatnot, what is going to be available to buy? And I think a lot of that will be the evergreen stuff, you know, but also at the same time, we just finished talking about how stores have had to very efficiently streamline what they carry, you know, so it's almost like, what will they actually have on the shelves that they can sell?
Yeah, and it also begs the question of if the industry leans more into the pre-order model or leans a little away from it. Because, I mean, I can see where stores maybe more the, you know, if you really do want that whatever trade, you do have to pre-order, or I can get it if it's available sort of a thing, just to lower their risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wouldn't surprise me if when stores reopen that they start doing some discounting on stuff that's otherwise just been sitting on their shelves for too long, you know, just to try to boost sales. The question is, are the customers going to be able to afford to take advantage of that or not?
Well, I think the tough part is that we're already operating in a industry that is not a necessity. And I think that a lot of industries that aren't a necessity are going to be the ones that take the biggest hits.
Well, I think there's the not a necessity, i.e. if you've got to choose between shelter, food, etc., comics are lower on the list. But there's also the aspect of escapist entertainment and mental health to factor in that I think could benefit comics to some degree. Not enough to compensate for the you've got to eat and have a house first, but it's really where the economics on the return on investment come into play. You know, if I'm going to spend, you know, $20 on entertainment, where do I get the bigger return on the investment and have that last as long as it can or whatever? Do I get a trade paperback? Do I go buy two novels? Do I go buy a movie or something? Or do I subscribe to Netflix for a few months?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to have a different answer to that. And I think it's going to be both interesting and a little scary to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But that's also part of why I was suggesting earlier that DC and Marvel kind of lean in on the subscription services to gain potential comic book fans at the moment and almost just buy some goodwill.
Well, and then hopefully the idea is that with those subscription services, they can binge on, you know, some of the older material, some of the great runs. And then once the new material is being published, they're hungry for new stories. You know, that would be what I would hope for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you've got people working from home at Marvel and DC on the technical side of things and the marketing side of things, there's no reason they couldn't be doing an almost daily email of here's the next issue in the sequence for, you know, New Teen Titans or the classic X-Men stuff or whatever. I do think, a curated thing to be doling out entertainment that you could just be subscribing to the links to or something and getting for a reasonable cost during the shutdown could build some fans big, long term. You know, particularly if there's then a move to say this is what you would transition to with new material once the stores are open.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go with a, buy local kind of mantra at that point, you can get people to buy in just conceptually of I'd rather support, the fellow people in my community versus, big box store or whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with big box stores, but it's just, I would hate to see this sort of situation shift the industry into more chains and fewer mom and pop stores, because I think that has some potential risk factors moving forward for the industry as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm looking at a lot of these things on the list, and many of them strike me as a here this month, and are they going to be around, again? And is this going to force a shakeout on everything getting collected to trade or not?
Mm-hmm.
Because the model has been publish everything, and everything you publish, collect and trade. Once you've collected and trade, collect a hardcover. Once you've collected in hardcover, collect to an omnibus sort of a thing. It's almost a go through the motions, and I question if that remains viable or not. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. When I'm seeing Black Cat Volume 1, Grand Theft Marvel trade paperback at 2,086 units, it's like, okay, on average, maybe every store got a copy. I personally am enjoying that title, so I don't begrudge it going to trade paperback at all. I think it's a good way to get new readers on board, potentially. But does everything need to get collected that way?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. One aspect of this crisis will be it's going to force publishers, distributors, stores to get creative in how they do their business. Now, unfortunately, some of that will be to the negative, but hopefully some of it will be to the positive, and we'll see some new ways of doing things come.
Absolutely. I think this is a great opportunity for everybody in the industry to take a little bit of a step back, reassess how they've been doing things, why they've been doing them that way, and how to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, what has gone before is perfectly fine and should continue. I'm not suggesting we throw everything out or whatever. But I also do think it's a chance for, retailers to be considering how have they been stocking their shelves with trades or what comics have they been carrying, and do they want to continue on that path or not. Creators should be thinking, do they want to be continue telling this, 4-6 issue arc kind of a story, or are we going to see a point where anything that is mid-story going into April suffer because by the time stuff resumes, whenever that is, people have kind of lost the narrative thread.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, I think the publishers should be, and some of them definitely are, rethinking their publishing frequency and overall strategy. And I applaud the ones that have already announced returnability to retailers to mitigate the risk to the retailers, a slowing down of releases to not flood the market when it comes back up, and things of that sort. Because the wild thing about this situation is it is impacting the entire world, but aspects of the entire world very differently.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a stay-at-home order for 2 weeks now. You have yet to get one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's right for a store down the street from me is not necessarily right for the store down the street from you. And that's the hard part. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all solution to this, but we've got to both look at the short term, keeping as many stores, creators, publishers, distributors, etc. in business as possible, while looking at what's going to be good for the long-term health of the industry.
Yeah. And that's where I think I completely agree with you. That kind of diamond's hand was forced, because if there's entire states where they're literally not allowed to ship stuff to, but then other states, it's like business as usual. That's just a disaster waiting to happen. So they can't, they can't have a regional policy like that where half the country, everything is fine and the other half doesn't get any comics. That would be terrible. So I understood where their hand was kind of forced in that respect.
Years ago, and this was like a decade or so back, I was listening to a comic book podcast. And it was one that was just a short 5-10 minute thing every episode. And it was, the podcaster was based on the Gulf Coast somewhere. And they had like a hurricane or something hit and it was pretty devastating to that area.
Mm-hmm.
And what the guy was suggesting was that comics not be released nationwide that week because of how hard hit his community was. And on the one hand, I get it. It's, you know, can be, you know, that sort of thing can be devastating for a particular community. But then again, do you cut everybody else off when, you know, X percent isn't impacted?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that understandably are having a hard time looking at that bigger picture. To say, do what's right for the industry, even if it hurts, you know, their, or even if their particular situation, like California went on lockdown, I think, before a lot of places. New York, is definitely under lockdown, and I'm not sure how long that's been compared to other places. It's just, at this point, Diamond is a bit of a linchpin for the industry. If they were to go under, and just not be able to ever distribute comics again, that's catastrophic for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
They have announced they're suspending it for an unknown duration, which isn't great news, but it's better than them going under.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just a matter of do they have or are they coming up with a game plan for how to ramp things back up? Once I had gotten that notification that, hey, comics are suspended, I did send an email to my contact person at Diamond with, I don't know, half a dozen or a dozen questions. And I was very upfront. I know some of these questions will not have answers at the moment, and any answers may change.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a very fluid time in the industry. I was hoping for a better response than I got, but I'm hoping it's just they need more time and I'll get more information, you know, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't know, it's... I look at these sales of the trades where so many things are doing, you know, maybe 1,000 units or under 1,000 units, and how many of these have potentially gone to the store and gone straight to a subscriber. Awesome. That's great. Or gone to a store and sit on a shelf that is, you know, now closed to access for an unknown duration of time. You know, that's not so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do hope that retailers are able to take stock of what their inventory is, figure out how to leverage that as best they can when their stores can reopen, and figure out how to adjust what comes into their stores moving forward to best serve their customers and their interests. Because, yeah, I'm not seeing anything here that makes me think, wow, the industry is either so robust it'll have no problem weathering the storm, or so fragile, oh my god, it's over.
Yeah.
Because I don't think these sales are particularly unusual either.
No, and that's just the point I was going to make, is that just like you were saying, are we seeing this more of one-off, this trend of more of one-off things that the industry currently can't generate ongoing hits? You know, we used to see, you know, the benchmark used to be you could get a series at Vertigo, 60 issues was kind of the goal you shot for. You know, now the last couple of years, if you got to 30 issues, you know, you're doing amazing for creator-owned or other, you know, side projects. And then at the big two, especially Marvel, if you can get to 18 issues, it's a miracle, you know, before they have to reboot it.
Well, and when you start to get a string of trades that lasts, you know, three volumes, and then you're back to a new volume one of something, it's hard to build up any kind of sales momentum on the collected edition side.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see where when it gets to volume 20 or 30 of something, it's daunting and people are like, do I really want to make that kind of a commitment? But I can also see the detriment of, I liked this volume. It's a shame there's not another one to go continue this story.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I do think the way the publishers are packaging the material needs to get rethought a little bit, to maybe get away from all of these, you know, volume one, volume one, volume one sort of things. But I don't see that change kind of happening overnight either. And there's a risk of if radical changes are made during this period that what comes out of the pipeline afterwards is so different that it's just another potential shakeup in the industry going on at the same time.
Absolutely.
On the upside, I don't really foresee any publishers doing any kind of a radical shakeup in terms of how they release stuff, how they collect stuff, or anything of the sort. I think they're more busy figuring out just how are they going to survive this.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything on the list that struck you as particularly noteworthy in January?
I did just notice the general trend, and we saw that with the overall monthly breakdown, but more Viz titles in the top 100. And I think you're just seeing more of that as the average total sales for the other stuff comes down. And then there has been a trend of increasing in manga sales in the direct market. So you're just going to see those kind of Viz series that are popular kind of filtering up to the top. Part of that is, manga is very well packaged in terms of long run series runs. They're relatively affordable volumes. They're easily consumable. So, there's some of the way that the that material is packaged in that product in and of itself is kind of lends itself to the trade market. But just kind of seeing a lot more Viz media in the publisher column than I'm used to in the top 100 for sure.
Well, and if we talk a little about that top item that Viz has, My Hero Academia 22 graphic novel, 2,986 units, $9.99.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad price point for, I'm not sure, how many pages do those tend to run? About 200 maybe?
Yeah, about 2 to 225. Mm-hmm.
So serious amount of meat on the bone for what you're paying for. And to me, manga has always kind of been that middle ground between comics and trades. It's got a bit of a more frequent release schedule than a typical trade tends to, because it's not every 6 months or anything like that. So it's a little easier to get into a habitual buying pattern with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got enough of an ongoing story to get you from one volume to the next. But it's got the size, the page count, and the meat on the bone per installment that, it doesn't feel like you're spending, $3, $4, $5 on a 20 page comic and, well, that was quick.
Mm-hmm.
So we may see people potentially shifting a little more towards manga if they're open to that kind of, storytelling style and format, just because it does seem to be a better return on the investment.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And the fact that we've got a volume 22 there indicates that people are not necessarily scared off by high volume numbers.
Yeah. And I think another important thing that the manga does, and you see this in the regular comics as well, especially like an example being Kirkman of how he multiply packaged The Walking Dead, is that when a series gets popular enough, I'll give you the perfect example is One Piece. They have, the individual manga volumes. Then they do almost like a quasi omnibus where they do three of those into one big one. They have different versions of reprints. Sometimes if they get popular enough, they'll do them in color. Sometimes they do hardcovers. They're very good about, prestige format. They really maximize the different tranches of customers, in that market.
So, moving forward, do you think the multiple repackaging approach is going to continue and be viable?
It's interesting. One of the things that I was going to, talk to you about is I think that for better or worse, some companies that are going to do very well in this situation are anyone that, as long as the mail system stays up, are the mail order, like DCBS and In-Stock Trades, and the other companies that compete with them, and then also Amazon. Because the big companies, obviously depending on if their printers are working or not, can get the product shipped from there to the warehouses and the warehouses out to the customers. And you can kind of maintain that supply chain and maintain that revenue. And so those type of places are going to do well. But in terms of what we're going to see in direct market sales, I don't know. But I think those places are going to be able to take advantage of the collected edition sales that are going to be available, especially if new material isn't going to be put out. Amazon doesn't do single issue comics just because of how fragile they are, and they don't have experience like Diamond does in terms of moving that effectively and efficiently.
Actually, I think they do have single issue comics available.
Oh, okay. I know they do on the digital side, but I'm assuming the volume of that part of their business is pretty small. I mean, I'm one never to doubt Amazon in terms of being able to scale something up if they want to. But I just think the profit they can make off book, because effectively the trades and collected editions are like books for them, and they're very good at moving books. So,
well, my recommendation to listeners is if you are looking for more reading material, mm-hmm. reach out via phone or email to your local comic shop. See if they have it and can get it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're in a community where the store's open, you can just go in, awesome. Maybe you're in a situation where they can do it curbside, maybe they can mail order, maybe they can't.
Mm-hmm.
But support your local comic shop as much as you can. And then the next step, go to one of the mail order places in the comic industry. DCBS, Cowabunga, Mile High Comics, MyComicShop.com, to name but a few. Let's see if we can keep all of our comic retailers in business and such. If that still doesn't work for whatever reason, that's when I would suggest going to Amazon.
Yeah, oh, for sure, for sure. I was just thinking in terms of who has a first mover advantage in already having the infrastructure set up. Because, you know, what we've talked about is the direct market. There's so many shops that live week to week on terms of, you know, just having the enough revenue. You know, the smarter shops, the places like Cowabunga who are long-term thinking, have an online presence, have a mail order side. You know, those places I think are designed to weather, you know, multiple streams of income, things like that. But there's just so many places that don't even have a website, you know, and I think those places are, that's going to be much more difficult.
Absolutely. But work with those retailers if you can, just to see what they can do.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I've read online that places are, you know, are have limited hours where you can call in and try and do an order. And then obviously it may take them a little bit longer to get that out in the mail, depending on their staffing or their availability, or whether they're even allowed in their city to go into their shop. But, you know, any sort of way you can help, I definitely encourage that for sure.
I'm also thinking, though, that people are going to have potentially better luck with local retailers or comic retailers than Amazon, in so much as Amazon is just getting slammed.
Oh,
by, you know, everybody ordering everything online.
Mm-hmm.
I had placed an order for some DVDs I was interested in, and some of them I think are going to ship and arrive maybe the middle of next month or something.
Yeah, and, you know, you've read about that as well, is that they're kind of prioritizing what they ship out first and what they use their shipping capacity on, the essentials, you know, toilet paper, things like that, whereas, you know, books or, like, TV stands aren't necessarily the priority. So your shipping dates are definitely slipping on a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and if you do get shipments and stuff, not that I expect you'll actually see the delivery person, but if you do, thank them for being out there and stuff during these times.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that we can help out our local stores that have these things sitting on the shelves, otherwise unmoving, just to see what they've got and take some of it off their hands to help them out and to give us something to read.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, again, I have no idea what percentage of these items, these numbers I'm looking at on my screen here, were sold straight to customers. You know, it comes in, it goes out, or what percentage is come in and sit on the store shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect a fair amount of it is on store shelves.
Do you think if there's a decent amount of consolidation in the industry, and you know how certain publishers have given returnability going forward for the next couple months, do you think this is the type of jolt, just like in the regular book publishing industry, the World War II was a jolt to cause returnability to come to the market? Do you think that'll be a long-term solution, or do you think DC and Marvel are too big to give that up?
Marvel, I think, has already announced deep discounting. I don't remember if they've announced returnability or not, but they're basically trying to make it as viable as possible for retailers to stay in business.
Mm-hmm.
DC, as we record this, I think 24 hours ago, finally made an announcement, and it was a little vague in some places. I think returnability is going to be around for the next 3 months, given the situation as it stands today as we record this. If the shutdown of suspension of new comics and stuff lasts longer than just April, I expect the returnability from Dark Horse, Image, and the other kind of non-big two premier publishers to last for that duration.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good thing. Depending how the market is looking when sales resume, I hope they don't just kind of cut that off at some point and say, well, it's done, it's over, and we're back to business as normal. I think there needs to be a ramp up potentially, but that comes down to not knowing if there is or what the game plan will be for spinning up new comics shipping again, getting the word out so people know and stuff like that, and or how sales do during those first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're seeing some publishers really treating retailers as partners in this, and others not so much.
Yeah, no, I think that has definitely been evident. Yeah, I think it's also the unfortunate reality is that of all the industries that was ready for something like this, comics isn't one of them. We were already struggling with all the issues we already have. And then this is a thing that's unprecedented, as they say.
Well, I hope retailers and readers are making note of which publishers are being supportive and which ones are not being as supportive. And yeah. I say that with a not, oh, well, DC hasn't done this, so I'm out. So, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
But TKO, for instance, that has predominantly been doing mail order and a couple stores going through there or whatever, but mainly not going through the direct market, has set it up to where if you tag your local store when you make a purchase of TKO items right now, that store gets half the sale.
Mm-hmm.
That is not something TKO had to do.
Yeah.
It's arguably not really even their business model at all, but they've gone and done it. That, to me, is a show of support and faith in the direct market that TKO has, and I think we as readers should show them support in return.
Yeah.
You know, I applaud Dark Horse for making the commitment to not release things digitally that are also set to go in print. Let's support them in that by supporting what they come out with when they come out with it. You know, this is a time for figuring out where and how you want to vote with your money in a positive way. It is not a time to financially punish companies because you didn't like how they handled it.
Yeah.
I just, again, to me, I worry about that self-fulfilling prophecy of people's anger getting the better of them or their frustration getting the better of them and not looking for the positive there is to be had through this. I mean, the nice thing is comics predominantly are something that do not require a large gathering of people in close proximity to produce. You got a writer off on his own typing up the script. You've got an artist off on their own drawing it. Same with the inker, the letterer, the colorist, the editor. When it goes to the printer, okay, maybe a bigger congregation of people is needed. Certainly the printer needs to be physically open for business, which is not the case in some places right now. But it puts comics in a mode where they can continue production through this if they wanted to and financially were able to, whereas movies, television, and so many other things are not in that position.
Yeah.
So I do think there's an opportunity for comics to get a larger mind share and audience through all of this. I just don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I think we may be looking at the end of the current television season just as a matter of necessity. And with that and sports and other things having dried up as entertainment options, now's a great time for all of us to be telling our friends that comics are available and, hey, go hop on Marvel Comics Digital Unlimited for $6-7 a month or the DC Universe service for so much or Comics Unlimited or wherever and get people hooked.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Those are great options. And rediscovering reading in this country maybe, right?
Well, one of the things that I've put up on the forum in the Slack channel and will mention on the weekly comic spotlight that goes up Monday as we record this and previously as this released, is I'm starting a new episode type up of the Recommendation Roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another crowdfunded or crowdsourced, I should say, episode like the preview spotlight, but open to really any sort of entertainment option. Video games, comics, novels, TV shows, movies. If somebody can get it on a streaming service or if they just have it lying around, people are at home and some people are frankly a little bored. Let's give them something to do. You know, let's recommend to each other. It's like, I mean, I've got 60, 70,000 comics. All I need is the right thing of, you know, I ought to go read this title for me to go dig it out and read it. So let's encourage people to stay engaged with the hobby and, the way it is manifested in so many different things and, you know, just enjoy the extra time at home that many of us have.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
If we go down to the bottom of the top 300, at this point we're looking at sales of around 325 units. So maybe 1 in 10 stores is getting a copy of some of the stuff. Now, a lot of this is reorder activity. Not all of it is, but some of that doesn't surprise me too much. I don't expect everything to make it to every store. I don't think everything should. But then we've got like another 200 items below that. And this is where, you know, at the bottom of the top 500, we're talking around 200 units and stuff for some of these things. Again, most of this is reorder, but not all of it is.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to, as you were talking about earlier, just how much material is being produced these days. And is the audience big enough to consume all of it?
Yeah. Well, and you might see in, you know, you talked about there might need to just be less material, and that might be an unfortunate consequence of this situation, is that the companies, you know, instead of putting out 80 comics, they have to, you know, queue back to 20 to 30, you know, to 40. And then it'll be interesting to see if those 20 to 40 sell, you know, double the amount to make up the difference, or if the overall industry just shrinks.
At this point, what I would recommend to publishers is go through what you've got in the pipeline. Obviously, stuff from the April 1st and 8th releases, which are already in the printing and distribution pipeline and stuff, you're going to want to release that sooner rather than later. Other stuff, though, look at your higher selling items. Get those out sooner rather than later, but throttle up your output slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good first week of new comics to where people are excited that things are starting back up, and then go from there. But maybe take some of the things that you haven't quite launched yet and push those till later in the year. Maybe go to a bi-monthly schedule for, you know, lower selling items. Something that can, we want things that sell better getting to stores, just to lower the risk for the retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would suck if retailers make it through this only to have a first week of comics. It's just not that exciting.
Yeah, that's not what we need. That's for sure.
So, and again, I'm not going to suggest I have solutions for the current situation. There's just, like you said, so many moving parts. It's just such an unprecedented situation.
Oh, one question I had that I actually thought of pretty immediately once I heard that Diamond was stopped printing. For your weekly comic spotlight, are you guys going to start maybe do like a back issue dive? Are you going to, because I know you've got hundreds of books on your shelf and hundreds of other things. Are you guys going to get creative and find something that's interesting in the past? Or what's your plan?
The plan is still evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a discussion of back issue spotlights. I'm in the nice position right now of having numerous episodes in the can ready to go.
Oh, that's good.
So even mm-hmm. if I did not record anything else after today, I have enough episodes to keep the podcast going, certainly through all of April.
Oh, okay.
Part of it's going to come down to scheduling, finding back issue spotlights I want to do, of which I've got a number with different people and stuff. But we're now in a position where to do a back issue spotlight with somebody, they have to actually already have the material in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, an issue. And just trying to keep things open to where if there is, I don't say breaking news. I do not consider this podcast to be a source of breaking news. I'm not that fast on the releases intentionally. It's not what I'm into. But I am going to be doing an episode, at least one, probably a handful over time as needed, of kind of the comics blackout, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep people appraised of what's new and hopefully when it ends. But The podcast is going to continue full steam. Obviously, the weekly comic spotlight will be put on pause after James and I record the next one, which is this last week of releases. We'll continue it when stuff starts shipping again.
Okay.
But yeah, things are going to have to change for that, for these episodes on the numbers, because I expect to get March numbers. I don't know after that. We've got preview spotlight 150, because that previews came out. We're going to continue as if it's, you know, regular stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that will ship at some point. But after that, I don't even know when the next previews is going to come out.
That's a good point, right? Like, at a certain point, if, as you said, some companies have told their artists to put down pencils, it at a certain point, previews is just an amalgamation of what they get sent from the publishers. And if the publishers, are they just going to have TBA stickers to put on everything?
Is that next previews that comes out after things are back in full swing going to be 600 plus pages?
Yeah, that's interesting, right?
We just don't know.
Well, and the other thing is going to be interesting is, will they decide for like the big two, will a lot of the things that they've been working on that were kind of scheduled that got disrupted, will those become inventory stories that they use in the future and they just scrap it and move forward? Or are they just continue releasing as if they hadn't, and you know what I mean, just to get the material out there, since it's like a sunk cost, they've already paid for it.
I think if it's a sunk cost, we'll see the material come out.
Yeah.
It's a question of when and how.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things where I don't know what the ramifications are going to be on sales, because we don't know when or if or how it'll be put on sale. And for all I know, we could get a release of April numbers that's nothing but reorder activity.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's unlikely, but it could happen.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect it, those numbers to be super high. So we might have a record low in terms of total units.
Yeah, to me, it would be such a... I mean, if we're seeing sales around 200 units at the bottom of this list when the mechanism was going full swing back in January, where people were sort of aware of the coronavirus, but it wasn't really a thing in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
I can't imagine how few units we might see if only drop shipping or whatever happens during April. I don't know.
No, it's a very valid point.
But I do think it's something that all the publishers should be looking at the sales data they have, which is way more inclusive than the data we have here, and trying to figure out what to lean on during these times and as the industry kind of tries to spin back up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will spin back up. I just I fear there could be bumps in the road because it's never had to be done before.
Yeah, especially this way. Yeah.
Well, I was digging through my database earlier trying to find the last time we had gone a week without anything coming out. And for trades, what I did is I took all the shipping lists, said, okay, go do a count of items by shipping week, but filter it down to anything that's in the master data file tagged as being a trade or a hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
And the 1 week I could find where nothing came out trade or hardcover wise was December 30th, 2009. And there was stuff the week before and the week after. So that was essentially just a end of year skip week for trades.
Hmm.
I did the same thing on comics, and it was it's actually a little weird. It seems to be January 30th, 2008. And I don't know if that's just because at that point I don't have the master data file going back far enough or what.
Hmm.
But we're talking a decade since we've had a week where nothing new came out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there have been times in the past where Diamond would ship 2 weeks worth of stuff with some of it being held for the week between Christmas and New Year. The most notable of those was December 30th, 2009, where only two items for comics came out. One was a variant of Fall of Hulk's Alpha, and the other was Blackest Night number 6. But there was at least something that week. So when we say we're going into uncharted territories and, you know, unprecedented and all of that, I know it's starting to feel a little cliche, but it's true. You know, we've never had the distributor of comics say, you know what, we're putting the industry on pause for a little bit. And again, I think that situation was forced on them by just what's going on in the world. But how it gets spun back up, when it gets spun back up, the speed with which it gets spun back up, is going to be very influential on how those numbers look during that initial period and how they look really moving forward. If it is something that there's enough time to reactivate the fan base, let them know, hey, comics are going to be coming out at this point, budget accordingly, here's what's going to get released and stuff, awesome. If it's something that catches people unaware and just, hey, they shipped this week, they're showing up tomorrow, that could be bad.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to hope that they, you know, the one positive side of this stoppage is hopefully they have enough time to think through things and hopefully come up with a plan. You know, let's hope.
Well, I think all the publishers should be doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of the creators that are able to keep working should keep working. All of those that have gotten a pencil down order, use this time to do creator own work. Figure mm-hmm. out a property, draw it, write it, link up with other creators, get your own projects going, control your own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got the time, leverage it. And get active on social media. There are various creators that are doing sketches on social media. They're doing live video stuff on Facebook and other things like that. Interact with your fan base. Keep them engaged. That's not only good for you as a creator, it's good for us as readers, and it's good for the industry. Because if we go too long and people just kind of forget about comics,
mm-hmm.
that's going to hurt.
No, I agree with that.
So if we look at the price breakdown and stuff, the most popular price point is $19.99 with 42 units. followed pretty closely with 40 items at $9.99 in the top 300. And we're pretty much favoring lower price points and whatnot, with a decent percentage of them being in that $20 or less category. It works out to be about 68.67% of the items. We do have a few items, three items at $125, an item at $100, two items at $99.99. We still have some of these higher priced items. I suspect we're going to see a trend in the middle of the year of that kind of not happening as often, but it's really hard to guess on that because they're going to have some things that are in the pipeline, so that sunk cost thing is going to come in. They're going to try to get them out there anyways, but they may also be cognizant of the fact that, you know, one omnibus could tank sales of comics for a given week or something, depending how financially strapped people are and where they choose to put their money.
Oh, yeah, I think they'll have to delay those because the reality is people are going to be, I think, very conscious of what they're buying. And, you know, the items that are $9.99 and low cost like that is going to be much more palatable to people, I think. And I think that's the price. Those lower price points are going to be important for the market for sure.
Well, and particularly the kind of that price per page and return on the investment. A $9.99 manga at, you know, is going to do better, I think, potentially, all of the things being equal, than a $20 or $30, you know, trade that covers six issues and feels like it has a fraction of the story content.
Absolutely.
So we're going to see some shakeup in this. It'll be interesting to see how this trend progresses moving forward over the course of the year and, you know, where at the end of the year or beginning of next, what we're seeing in this response.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't know. I think we've got a couple of phases we're going to see the industry move through. There's this current phase of kind of the spin down of things, i.e. the March numbers, etc. We're going to see the duration of the suspension of new stuff going out there for April to who knows when. We're going to see a bit of a ramp up where the industry almost goes back into a honeymoon period for some duration of time. Depending when things were solicited versus when they ship, do they get resolicited, do they not, how's the final order cutoff, you know, how does that ramp up work? And then after that period, whatever that new normal starts to become.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting times.
And we'll be here for all of it, I'm sure.
So we got anything else on the January numbers, or does that pretty much do it?
I think that does it for January.
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. The sales estimates can be found under the sales chart section of the Comic Book Page website. Please email us at themailreport@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening. The views expressed by Don Mayo and his guests are their own and may or may not accurately reflect reality in any way, shape, or form. If they differ from your reality, please verify that you are in the same space-time continuum before taking any action. All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The estimates given are for sales from publishers to retailers for items invoiced through Diamond Comics Distribution for the month in question. The Diamond Order Index only goes two decimal places, and therefore there is a margin of error of at least 1/10,000th of the estimate for the key title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. For months in which no issue of Batman shipped, Detective Comics is usually used as the key title. Some numbers are rounded to the nearest 100 for convenience. This may introduce a further level of inaccuracy. No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included, implied, or denied. Anywhere from all of the units shipped to retailers to none of them could still be sitting on store shelves gathering dust. All reorder activity should be seen only as indications there's at least one retailer that may have an excessive amount of empty shelf space with dust it needs collecting. The list of the top 300 comic books only contains the top 300 comic books sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 different comic books may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 300 comic books for the month. The list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions only contains the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 100 different graphic novels and collected editions may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions for the month. In the past, the list of top graphic novels and collected editions contained only 50, 25, or a few scanned items. This means that historical data about graphic novels and collected editions is increasingly limited the further back in time that you look. Fixing this may require time travel, which as far as I know now, has not been successfully invented in the past, present, or any possible or probable future. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales of any comic books, graphic novels, and or collected editions that are not listed on the top 300 comic books or top 100 graphic novels and collected editions lists is included, implied, or denied. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. No information about the sales or lack of sales of any items sold outside the Diamond Comics distribution channel is included, implied, or denied. That information is considered to be outside the scope of this report. If this isn't the data you're looking for, then this isn't the data you're looking for, and no amount of whining will change that. If you don't know why this disclaimer is here, then it probably isn't meant for you. This report is void in the ultimate reality of Duluth, Minnesota. Ask Bob to meaningless language itself, so you work very differently there.